The complications of providing mental health care have been increasingly in the spotlight over the course of the pandemic, as the way we relate to each other has understandably changed. But for those who had already been receiving mental health assistance in Arizona, the challenges of finding proper treatment have been evident for decades. The settlement of the decades-long lawsuit Arnold v. Sarn was supposed to lead to significant improvements, but a series of stories by the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting has revealed the continued existence of major problems. Amy Silverman is a longtime Arizona journalist and a contributing editor to AZCIR. She wrote the series and is with me to talk about it. Amy, Chick Arnold, the man whose name is on the landmark Arnold v. Sarn lawsuit, is at the center of your reporting in this series. What was it like to talk with him now? And how disappointed is he with what has come out of the results of the suit?
You know, it's interesting. I've known him for a really long time. I profiled him in 1993 when the legislation was and the Supreme Court decision were relatively new, and there was a whole lot of hope. But I hadn't really, I'd spoken to him over the years, but I hadn't covered the issue much in depth. And last fall, one of his associates just happened to mention in casual conversation that Chick was not all that happy with the settlement agreement that they signed in 2014 that basically dismissed the legislation. And that really piqued my interest because, you know, for the Arnold and Arnold v. Sarn to be disappointed was really kind of a counterintuitive thought. I just assumed things had gotten much better. And to be fair, things have gotten much better. They really have, but not for the very sickest people. And so I met with him, called him up, and and talked to him about it. And he really feels like doing away with the court monitor, and that had ended in 2012 because of some budget issues, was really, really an important pulling apart of the system in a really bad way, because there was a need for constant accountability and transparency. And that's what this annual court monitor audit, and then really any time during the year, they could pull it up, go back to court and, you know, and deal with issues. That was all gone. And as a private practice attorney representing mostly the families of the very sickest people, he saw firsthand the results of that and sees that there are still a lot of people with a lot of needs.
Well, let's go back to Chick Arnold. So he retired, as you report, at the end of last year. What should we know about Attorney Josh Mozell, who is taking over some of Chick's efforts?
Yeah, Josh is fascinating. He started off as a case manager in the mental health system, which I think is, you know, it's some kind of similar to Chick's work, sort of related, you know, what he was doing before he went into practice. And it has clearly made all the difference in the way that Josh looks at the system, because when he looks at it, he says, well, I know this can be done because I did it myself when I was a case manager. And he also sees where the challenges are. And he has really taken on Chick's role, both in representing families who have the most difficult situations, and how that's handled can be controversial, you know, in terms of guardianship. But he takes those cases on. And then he's also really working in the community, in the legislature, all over the place to do whatever he can to make things better. It's really pretty remarkable. And in that way, he really is doing it, in the footsteps of Chick, who he begged him to let him work for him for free, I think, one summer. Oh, wow. When he was in law school, just begged him. And he told me recently that he couldn't get past Chick's paralegal because she was kind of the gatekeeper for Chick, who, you know, as you might imagine, would get a ton of calls. And Josh had to laugh in recalling that and say he now has the same paralegal he works with, and she does the same thing for him. So I love how it's come full circle like that. And knowing, you know, I think Josh, this is in one of the pieces, he said, you know, the thing about Chick is he walks in a room and everybody's afraid of him, but they also want to give him a hug, you know? And so to leave a vacuum in after Chick would be so incredibly devastating on so many levels. So it's really fascinating to see Josh in there doing his work.
Can you give me the assessment with the number of people you spoke with, professionals, families who've been going through these issues? Some of the stories you tell are just, I mean, they're heartbreaking and they're scary in lots of different ways. Can we talk specific sort of numbers? I want to bring out this one line in one of your pieces that While an estimated 35% of people with serious mental illness receive services nationally, that figure is just 25%. I put in just, sorry. That figure is 25% for Maricopa County, even lower for Arizona at 18%. What does that say about what a situation where Arizona, at least to some, has a supposedly a good national reputation for this, and yet those numbers are really striking and shocking, frankly?
I was actually really surprised by those numbers, because going into this, I knew that there were big problems in Arizona, but I still thought Arizona landed at the top of the heap because that's our national reputation. But that's often not the case. And I'm actually more interested and concerned about the people who are in the system who aren't getting the help they need than the people who are completely outside of it, if that makes sense. I mean, I am concerned that so few people who the government estimates, you know, are seriously mentally ill and need help aren't getting any at all. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but once you're in the system, there's no guarantee you're going to get what you need. And the sicker you are, the harder it is. And that's what's heartbreaking. There are a lot of people who are well served by our mental health system, and they tend to be not the chronically mentally ill, the people who are able to get some help and support and move on with their lives and you know, maybe from time to time get more support. It's the people who you see walking down the street talking to themselves, you know, the homeless people, the people we read about in the headlines. It's you know, one of the advocates who worked on this long ago said to me, it's 20 people, it's not that big of a deal. It's not 20 people. It's probably thousands of people. And Josh Mozell, and then Holly Giesel works with him as well. She's an amazing criminal defense attorney in town. You know, they have dozens of clients and tons of calls that they can't take because there are so many people desperate. And it's, you know, it was always well known around town throughout the years that if you had a really serious issue and you had the means to get to him, you know, you'd need to get to Chick Arnold if you really wanted any kind of change, just to him as an attorney. And so there remains a huge problem, but with very little accountability and transparency. So we really don't know the number of people who aren't being served and who are in real crisis.
That is Amy Silverman, contributing editor for the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting. We've been talking about her series on mental health in Arizona. Amy, thanks so much.
Steve, thank you.